Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
Ed Larson.
And welcome back to Mad Chat. That's right. It's the debate show here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson. Where we, in a very mellow manner...
Where's the set?
Tackle...
Where are these phony cigarettes you were talking about last week? I don't see it anywhere.
I'm very excited about our new set, Larson.
Where is it?
It's on its way. I just got my new chair today. The Mat Chat chairs...
You're a liar. You got a desk chair, not chairs for the set.
Well, that's true, but look. Amazon.com, vintage 70s chairs.
Go to the marketplace. Let's see bargains. I don't see any chairs.
That's not a chair. What is that chair?
That looks like some sort of ejector seat.
I don't want a wheelchair. That'd be kind of cool, though. Anyways, yeah, this is Matt Chat. This is the show where we debate topics brought to us by our $20 and up per month patrons at patreon.com/Steven Larson. You, too, can submit a video question. Apologies to those. I submitted the Matt Chat question out on our Patreon page to all patrons. And I think a couple submitted them.
Yeah, at least two.
Without being on the $20 and up mark, we appreciate your enthusiasm, apologize for wasting your time, and appreciate your support at whatever level you might be contributing to the Going In Raw podcast.
Yeah, sorry for the confusion.
My bad. I chalked this one up to me.
Yeah.
In the words of R-Truth, my bad.
People make mistakes, Steve.
Yeah, it's okay. Anyway. Moving on, we have some amazing video questions today. Fantastic questions. I can't get right into it. I mean, I can't wait to get right into it, so let's not wait to get right into it. First up, we've got from our good friendo A.O. Worm. Let's see what he has to say.
A.O. friendos, what's going on? It's your boy A.O. Worm here back with another Mad Chat debate. So my debate topic is, which brand will have the most to gain and least to lose from the outcome from a Survivor Series? So basically, which brand needs to win in order to progress storyline, Raw or SmackDown? Steve, I want you to defend why Raw needs to win. And Larson, I want you to defend why SmackDown needs to win. All right, guys, and go.
Thank you, A.O. Worm. Great question. I like this question a lot. I'm excited to argue my point, but you go first,
Steve. Raw needs to win. Raw has to win.
Why?
It's a flagship show. It has to win. B, Kurt Angle's job is going to be on the line. Raw has to win at Survivor Series. Otherwise, Kurt Angle will be fired. We'll never see him again. The count out that we have tomorrow, which involves Kurt Angle dream feuds, will be all for nothing. We'll have shot that for absolutely nothing. We'll look like idiots. Kurt Angle.
Well, we'll probably look like idiots regardless.
Here's the thing. Raw's going to win. The SmackDown women's team might win, but Raw's going to win. This is the Survivor Series men's matchup because there's no way they're going to have Kurt Angle lose his job over this. They've already telegraphed the end. On top of that, Raw really does have... I'll be honest. Kayfabe-wise, Kurt Angle deserves to get fired if he loses this. He has Samoa Joe, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman. Those three men alone should be able to take on any five people that SmackDown's able to conjure. Those three people alone, kayfabe, should be able to take on any five people in the entire WWE or pro wrestling universe, bar none. I mean, that's how strong the lineup is. Samoa Joe, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, and then you toss in, who else have we said is probably going to be?
Finn Balor.
Come on, Finn Balor. Doesn't even need to be the demon to win this. And then like a Bray Wyatt, maybe. But I don't know if they're going to... Bray Wyatt's not really booked very strong. I don't know. They can toss anybody else in there. Yeah, Raw needs to win this because they are the dominant brand. They do brag the Universal Champion, Brock Lesnar. And yeah, of course. It's Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle's going to... Oh, and they have Kurt Angle. That's right.
Yeah, Kurt Angle's fifth.
Yeah, Kurt Angle's... Well, he's first because he's captain. Any team, but any that Central 3, any team that has Braun. And on top of that, because this is a once... This is a once-a-year thing. SmackDown has been established as the heels. And because of something that only happens once every year, the heels have to lose. So the faces are going to go over. There's like a million reasons that I just listed that Raw needs to win this thing. Raw's totally going to win this thing. Go ahead.
Here's why SmackDown needs to win. The one-on-one matches, Raw's going to win a majority of them because, by and large, Raw's champions are stronger than SmackDown's champions right now.
Yeah, Raw's a stronger roster.
So, at best, I feel like Raw might win two of the one-on-one matches. I think there's five of them.
Okay, the one-on-one matches are Brock Lesnar versus Jinder. Brock's going to win that.
Yes.
Miz versus Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin is actually booked stronger than the Miz.
I think Baron Corbin's going to win that.
In a one-on-one fight. That's you think that? Okay, yeah. Interesting. Alexa Bliss versus Natalya.
Alexa's winning that one.
Natalya's, you don't think Natalya's booked stronger? Yeah, you're right about that. Alexa wins clean, and she's a heel.
Yeah.
Okay, okay, okay.
Is that it? That's just the only
thing. Oh, and then a tag match. Usos versus Seth and Dean are not losing that.
Okay, so Raw's going to win three of the four.
I could see the only one that I can turn. I'm fascinated by you saying that Baron's going to go over the Miz. He needs it much more than the Miz. Miz can eat losses all day long.
Yeah, well, I'm going to save the rationale for that for our predictions video.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to spoil anything right now. I know we're still 3 weeks out, but I'm going to save it for that.
No, it's good. I like the rationale. Natalya Alexa Bliss, I think Natalya Alexa Bliss is a toss-up. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted your
own. Nonetheless. Because of that, because the perception exists both within and outside of the WWE that SmackDown is the B show, the best way to bring SmackDown to any semblance of equal footing is to have them get the win here. They did it last year. They needed it last year, especially right after the brand split. They needed to, the best they could, quell the idea that SmackDown was the B show, so they had SmackDown go over in the men's 5-on-5 elimination match. Nonetheless, Raw's roster across the board, top to bottom, is stronger than SmackDown's. Raw's going to take most of the 1-on-1 matches, I feel like. So I feel like SmackDown needs to win it here. The wild card, though, is Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. There's a good chance that they will end up costing SmackDown the match. And if they really... See, here's the thing. You're setting up SmackDown as the heels going into this. When Raw invades SmackDown, they're going to go in with that same level of brutality. In SmackDown's house, Raw is going to be the heels. If the go-home is Raw going to SmackDown and cleaning house, plus the specter of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn turning on the entire SmackDown brand, that's going to make SmackDown the more sympathetic, potentially more sympathetic brand this whole deal going into the actual show. So I don't think the whole SmackDown as heel brand is necessarily really worth mentioning. In the end, though, if they want to have parity amongst the brands, it makes sense, especially if Raw is going to win majority of the one-on-one matches, to at least give SmackDown this W.
Okay, number one point. What makes you think at all, in any sense, that Vince cares about parity between Raw and SmackDown?
He should.
He doesn't, though. He doesn't. SmackDown's basically a dumping ground for people he doesn't want.
That's not exactly true, because during the last Superstar Shakeup, who won that? SmackDown, easily. They got a huge influx of talent. Whereas,
you know what's weird is that we thought that, but so many other people didn't.
Yeah, I don't get that at all.
Yeah, it was weird.
Anytime Kevin Owens goes to your show, it feels like you win.
Whatever show.
You know?
That's exactly right. I just don't feel like... I don't feel like Vince really cares about parity. So the only parity that really matters is bringing SmackDown's ratings up to Raw's level. And I don't think the outcome of Survivor Series is really going to matter that much. It kind of matters more on who's over there on SmackDown drawing eyes. And we both know, you know, Cena can move the needle. Brock can probably move the needle. Good storylines can move the needle. The Under Siege thing in general moved the needle a little bit. So there's that. I'm not even sure when you mentioned the SmackDown being the heel until Raw invades them, and so it doesn't really matter. I'm not sure that Raw is going to invade SmackDown in the same manner. And on top of that, even if they did, I feel like people would, in order for that to come off like Raw is the heel on SmackDown's territory, they'd have to invade in the same manner, catch SmackDown off guard. And I think that because SmackDown fired the first salvo, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I think that established them as the heel in this dynamic. You already said, I totally forgot about this, but SmackDown won last year, right? Why would they win 2 years in a row? Another point in my
favor.
Because
they need to.
But okay, when you say they need to, in what manner?
I said because, so I'm pretty sure they won last year to as I said, quell the concept or the idea that SmackDown was the B show.
And it didn't work. So what would be the point of that as necessity this year?
Well, I mean, just because it didn't work last year doesn't mean it can't work this year.
Just keep
if
on,
they lose, for darn sure they're going to be seen as the B show.
Yeah. Okay, so that's kind of a point that you could make and you didn't, is that SmackDown's roster compared to Raw is so weak, they should be seen as...
I actually did make that point.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah. Again, I was not,
I said they were
going
to be seen as underdogs anyways because Raw's roster across the board is stronger than SmackDown.
Kind of interesting then they didn't take the opposite tact and have Raw just go over there and decimate SmackDown off the bat.
Yeah.
And not do vice versa. Because then you'd really have SmackDown as a sort of underdog and make Survivor Series. If SmackDown were to win, they would have to be seen as the scrappy underdog face. But they're not at this point because Raw is totally going to win. I still think that it's all storyline because Kurt Angle has to keep his job. And I don't think there's a way they can write themselves out without being too ridiculous.
Stephanie said that he'd be fired. The impression I got was as general manager.
Oh, you think that she'd just keep him on as a wrestler?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that we're going to see Raw. I don't think Raw is going to invade SmackDown in the same manner as SmackDown invaded Raw. I think the go-home show before Survivor Series, we're definitely going to see that. But it's going to be because SmackDown is so... And this whole Daniel Bryan thing is kind of interesting, too. I wonder what the whole Daniel Bryan... Or maybe they just got rid of him last night to get rid of him as sort of...
Could be.
The point... Maybe
we're going to have a GM
voice
trade.
Voice of reason.
Daniel Bryan to Raw.
Oh, there you go.
Kurt Angle to SmackDown.
That'd be fun. That'd be cool. Next up, we have the glorious S Ball. Let's see what he has to say.
Hello, friendos. It's me, it's me. It's the one and only glorious S Ball, all the way from the good old UK. My question this week on my chat is quite simple, really. Can you foresee a SmackDown whitewash? So basically, SmackDown wins every single match against Raw at Survivor Series. Even somehow a controversial win. Good old Jinder Mahal against the Brock Lesnar in the main event. What do you think, friendos? Let me know. Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Thank you, glorious S Ball. Go ahead.
Another Survivor Series question.
Good question.
And he asks, of course, can SmackDown win every match of Survivor Series? No.
Okay.
No, because it's a near certainty that Jinder Mahal is not going to beat Brock Lesnar. There's always a chance, however minuscule, that it could happen, but it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. The combination of that happening, the Usos beating the Shield, and the combination of those two things happening is so minuscule that it's basically inconceivable to think that SmackDown could sweep the entire card.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, I think Alexa Bliss is going to go over Natalya. Mm-hmm. I'll give Baron Corbin, as I already mentioned, the advantage going into his match against The Miz right now. I could change my mind in 3 weeks' time.
Yeah.
But no, it's not going to happen. SmackDown's probably going to take the loss. And the majority of these matches, they're probably going to lose the men's match too, despite what I said previously. Conceivably, I think SmackDown's going to lose a lot of these matches, if I'm being honest here.
Yeah.
And if Asuka's in the women's match, they're going to lose that one too.
That's a good point.
In fact, I think it's a much higher possibility that SmackDown loses them all than them winning them all. It's vastly higher. Try your best.
I mean, you know, as soon as they get rid of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, yeah, of course you're not going to have a chance. Can SmackDown win every match in Survivor Series? That is what I've been tasked with arguing. Yes, and I will tell you why. Because meningitis runs wild on the Raw locker room, brother. And if meningitis completely decimates the entire Raw locker room,
dear,
they will have no choice but to have SmackDown go over. And that is the only way Raw isn't going to completely dominate its Survivor Series. Although there is a little part of me that's holding on to hope that they might find a way to sneak Jinder a win. I still say Survivor Series is not canon for Brock Lesnar.
Oh, it is.
And I want to see them. Hey, how about
it's
this?
Not a house show, Steve.
Dude, what about this? What if SmackDown loses everything except Jinder goes
over?
That'd
be funny.
Wouldn't that be the best thing ever? Isn't that the best possible outcome?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Because then he walks in there and he lines up everybody on the stage and says, I'm going to say this in my language, Punjabi. You're all terrible. I don't think that's Punjabi. That's just bad English. All right. Anyways, so yeah, good points, everybody. Next up from our good friendo Vincent Palmieri. Let's take a look.
All right, friendos. Today, your video debate topic from me is going to be: should wrestlers perform and work, exclusively on the independent scene? Or should they work in WWE? Which do you think is more profitable, more viable, better for their success in general, indies or the WWE? And indies includes New Japan, I guess. I wouldn't really lump it in with the indies. So, you know what? Scratch that. No New Japan. So, working Ring of Honor, PWG, FSW here in Las Vegas, Big Valley Wrestling in California, all that stuff, or working in the WWE.
Thank you, Vincent.
Thank you, Vincent. All right, well, I'll take this one. And I'm going to say, you know what? Wrestlers should definitely stay with the indies. If you had a career choice, if you said, hey, who would you rather be, Baron Corbin or Joey Ryan? Joey Ryan recently on Twitter was in a back and forth conversation with some mark about, you know, somebody questioning, hey, why, you know, Joey Ryan essentially saying, I don't really want to go to the WWE. And he listed off a number of reasons, and the mark just didn't understand. Didn't seem like the guy had actually ever watched a Joey Ryan match. I look at guys like Joey Ryan. I look at guys like the Young Bucks. And I look at, I mean, honestly, Matt Riddle, Jeff Cobb, Brian Cage, Keith Lee, all these guys. And granted, a lot of these guys will end up going to the WWE and hopefully exploding, and it'd be great. However, I am a man who likes freedom. At no point in my vocational life have I ever had a job that I've loved as much as the one I have right now, because who's my boss?
Me.
We're each other's bosses. I'm my boss. We're our own bosses. We don't have anybody above us telling us what to do.
How about we make Sasha boss?
Well, she is the boss.
She is the boss already.
She's demon boss. Can we do skits where we talk to our boss?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
That's the new boss right there. This is the new boss.
That's our boss.
That's our boss.
Who wouldn't want a job where Sasha Banks, the demon, is our boss? Working for yourself is a joy, because there's nobody saying, hey, guess what? I'm going to bury you. There's nobody saying that. You are, as they like to say, as I've heard this many times before, you're taking a bet on yourself. You have nobody to blame and nobody to praise but yourself when you succeed or fail. And you and that trust that you have in yourself is a beautiful, beautiful thing. You can absolutely, if you have any lick of entrepreneurial skills, make a good living on the independent circuit. Sometimes you can make a better living on the indie circuit than you can in the WWE. And there's, you know, if you look at the turnaround rate in the WWE, the percentage of success in the WWE, the odds are not huge in your favor. Not saying they're incredibly in your favor on the indie scene, but with the independent scene thriving these days, and I'm, you know, we're fine. We can take out New Japan. We can take out Ring of Honor. With the independent scene thriving these days, you can do really, really well for yourself. You can establish your own brand, get on Pro Wrestling Tees, sell tons of merch. You can take weekends off. It's probably not a good idea because a lot of those shows.
Horrible
but you
idea.
Can take time off if you want to. The Young Bucks are always emphasizing being there for their families when they need to be, when they want to be, on their own time, when they want to. I say go to the indies, stay there, enjoy your life, because you only get one of them, and then you're just worm food, man. You're just dead in the dirt or cremated and burned to death. Go ahead.
Some good points there, Steve.
Thank you.
But I would argue it seems like a vast majority of wrestlers these days, when they were kids watching wrestling, they weren't watching PWG DVDs. They were probably watching WWE or WCW.
That's a good point.
Despite the reality that a lot of independent wrestlers can make a very good living working strictly on the indies, mm-hmm. or, you know, occasionally in Ring of Honor and New Japan, I would imagine, and granted, I'm not a wrestler, so I can't say this with any degree of certainty, but I can imagine that the idea of achieving a level of success on your own, taking that brand that you built and going to WWE and seeing if you could, if that translates to the largest possible stage, I think that would have to be really enticing to know, okay, for example, the Young Bucks, let's take them as an example. I know they've had some problems with WWE of late, but I know they've had tryouts for WWE at various points in their careers. So they've considered the idea of signing with them, or the possibility of signing with them. Say in a year and a half when their contract's up with Ring of Honor, WWE says, here, we'll sign you for 3 years for downside of $750,000. You have to work 250 days a year, and you're going to miss all your kids' birthdays and most of the holidays. But for those 2 years, he'll make this at a minimum plus a certain percentage of merch. You get additional for various, you know, being on pay-per-views, yada, yada, yada. Knowing that they have the possibility of getting the WrestleMania moment, performing in front of audiences larger, maybe not the Young Bucks, they've been in Tokyo Dome before, but even WrestleMania audiences larger than what the Tokyo Dome draws typically. Mm-hmm. Just the idea of potentially performing on the largest stage possible to wrestlers, period, that has to be enticing. And I know the Young Bucks have merch in Hot Topic and it's selling like hotcakes and they're not hurting for money by any degree, but just taking that step, potentially bringing your brand to a larger audience, bringing more exposure to your brand thanks to that larger audience, that larger platform, that's got to be enticing. That's why AJ Styles went to WWE. He'd been everywhere already. He won belts everywhere else around the world. And I'm guessing he just said, this is the last challenge I have. I'm going to do it. Makes total sense. Ricochet, he wants to go to WWE. He's made that clear. He said he had one thing he wanted to do before he signed with WWE, and he wanted to be the New Japan Junior Heavyweight Champion. IWGP Heavyweight Champion, Junior Heavyweight Champion. Didn't get a chance to do it, but it seems like, from every indication, there's a good chance he's going to sign with WWE, probably because he's been in the indies for probably about 10 years, 10, 12 mm-hmm. years. He's done a lot. He's won a lot of titles. He's probably made a decent living for himself. It's time to go to the largest stage possible and prove that he can do it again.
Yep.
And I think that's the appeal of signing with WWE. And I think, yeah, the work schedule's brutal. And yeah, you might not be utilized to your fullest. But just the opportunity of bringing your skills to that large of a platform has to be really enticing. And I could completely understand why people would still, even now, after hearing all these stories, people being signed from the indies, brought in from NXT, they go up to Maine, their creative stinks. Nonetheless, I can see why people wanted to give it a try.
There is something to be said about the challenge of adding creatively to something that has such a large legacy. I think about an endeavor that I used to want to pursue, comic books back in the day. I self-published a couple comics, and my dream was always to be completely independent, the way we are completely independent doing this, which is always my dream as well for us. My dream back then was always to be completely independent, but the idea of the possibility of adding to the Batman lexicon, the Superman lexicon, the X-Men lexicon,
enticing.
Is absolutely something that, you know, transcends the small thing that you're doing into the greater pop culture of, you know, mm-hmm. our society. Mm-hmm. And I would think more than the money, you know, there's the idea of having a challenge, not just to bring that creativity to, like you said, the largest platform, but also I wonder if some people consider the Vince dilemma a challenge as well.
Could be.
You know, because here's the thing. They have to understand that it isn't always the talent that will get you over. And in fact, in many creative endeavors, it's your ability to politic, your
and
ability
network,
to,
yes.
to network. Yeah, network yes. is a huge one. And so it's not always the best people that go over. And the WWE is especially interesting because it's all one 74-year-old man waking up and just deciding how he wants things to go, seemingly often on a whim. And so it seems like an impossible but very, very enticing challenge to take on. Can I succeed in this industry or in this company that is run seemingly on a whim?
But here's the thing, though. Despite
by this
that,
man.
We asked, we talked to AJ about a year ago. He called WWE the best promotion he ever worked for.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Carl Anderson has said, you know, in interviews, nothing but praise for WWE. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, it seems like they, from what we heard, granted, that's only two examples. You know, Neville seemed miserable. Austin Aries yeah. seemed miserable.
Yeah.
Just seems like some people, I think a lot of it too just depends on goals and
yeah,
what
sure.
you want to do. And
well,
and,
that's, look, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, we can argue these, but there's a whole level of gray in, you know, in
yes.
between. And obviously, like what you talked about was absolutely correct. You know, the seemingly one of the best, most fulfilling and rewarding ways to go and ensuring that you have a good case for yourself in the WWE is to go the AJ Styles route or the Finn Balor route or the Ricochet route that we're about to see. Establish yourself and what we say, your brand, your name on the indie scene, blow up so that you can't blow up anymore without going to the WWE. And then go there and you're instantly an AJ Styles. Of course, AJ is going to say that because they treat him and as always treated him like a major star. He leapt straight from where he was to the main roster, which is basically unheard of.
Yeah,
these
it doesn't
days.
Happen very
I mean, there are
days.
Some exceptions, but you know, they're not in the realm of AJ Styles. I mean, like Mike Kanellis didn't go through NXT,
yeah.
But that's basically because Maria was there and they had something very specific for him. And look at him now. That wasn't based on like his actual talent.
No.
And so so that's ideally the way to go. But, you know, in the case of Joey Ryan, who has established such a great reputation for himself, not just for his, you know, professionalism for his wrestling, but with the gimmick that probably would not work NXT or
it
WWE.
And, you know, so I don't know if the huge stage and the bright lights of WWE might appeal to some people. It might not appeal to other people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's not for a lack of ambition.
Yeah.
Joey Ryan seems like a really ambitious guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But... you know, ambition could be directed in various avenues.
Mm-hmm. And it's all what you want in your life.
Yeah, exactly. If you value, you know, making your own schedule and taking time off when you want to take time off,
mm-hmm.
I completely understand the appeal of that. It's one reason why I like my job.
Yep, absolutely. It's awesome.
It's good.
Anyways, all really good questions. Next up from Juggernuts. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, friendos. Happy Halloween. So, yeah, Hall of Fame 2018. Now... I think it's a given who the possible headliners are for this one. On the one hand, you got the Dead Man, The Undertaker. And on the other hand, you have The Rock, Rocky Maivia, the most electrifying man in all of sports entertainment. So, in your opinion, who deserves to headline it even more? Thanks, friendos. See ya.
Thank you, Juggernuts.
Thank you, Juggernuts. Who do you think is going to... Who do you think should
headline? I have to go first.
Yeah, you're going to go first on this one. I think I went first on the last one.
Take a sip of tea and consider this for a second.
Would you like some tea? Cream or sugar?
It's going to be The Rock.
Oh, okay.
The Rock.
Wow. Not what I was going to say.
It's going to be The Rock after his last match at WrestleMania 28,
mm-hmm.
Where he injured himself. Hollywood has really frowned upon Dwayne Johnson wrestling in the future.
Yeah.
He's so... his days of in-ring action, while not officially done, I would think in a major capacity, are probably done. He might do one-off things like he did at WrestleMania 32,
mm-hmm.
where he destroyed Eric Rowan in 8 seconds.
Buried the Wyatt family.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Not a proper match.
No.
Just a little bit of in-ring work. Yes. Done. Chance of injury, low.
Mm-hmm.
And even if he is inducted into the Hall of Fame, if he wants to pursue another match, Kurt Angle's in the Hall of Fame. He's going to wrestle for another few years.
Yep, true.
It's not without precedent. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, The Rock will headline this class. He is arguably the top star of the Attitude Era. Probably more so than any wrestler in history, he has transcended wrestling, became a huge multimedia juggernaut, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was last year he was the highest grossing actor in the entire world.
Mm-hmm. $65 million.
Something like that.
Yeah.
A lot of money. He's got his own YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. He's got a sprawling and continually growing entertainment empire.
He has got his own YouTube channel?
He does.
So do I.
So do we. We're peers.
Yes, we are. Yeah, we're peers. Exactly.
the imprint The Rock has made on popular culture cannot be denied. He might run for president.
He said that again.
So we got about 2 years before WWE will need to induct him.
Yeah.
There's 8 years where he's out of the equation.
Yeah,
so it needs to happen. It's going to happen this year in New Orleans. 2018 headliner will be Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Boy, you know, that's probably your best argument for that happening because they need to have it happen ASAP
before he runs.
Yeah, because that's probably
otherwise it's going to be an 8-year delay.
Oh, man, good point. I'm going to say this. I don't know if he will headline it. I think we might find out a little bit about this coming up at the 25th anniversary show because we might get an indication as to whether or not The Undertaker is really done or not. I hope he is. I hope he is, and I hope the next time we see him after the 25th anniversary show is the Hall of Fame. Look, if you ask me, hey, who actually belongs there more? Who belongs there more? It's The Undertaker, easily. I don't even think there's a question. The Rock was there. The Rock was huge. He's absolutely huge. You know, $65 million actor. He's massive. But how long really was he active in the WWE? Well,
from about 96 to 2003, full-time, right?
Yeah, but
7 years.
7 years as compared to the 53 quality years that The Undertaker gave us from the year 1908 to the year 2013. That's a lot of years right there for The Undertaker to be active. And so The Undertaker, his legacy is so ingrained in the WWE that he's the one who belongs there as the headliner. This year, he laid down his hat. I was there. I saw him lay down his trench coat and then descend into the stage ramp thing.
It's a metaphor, Steve.
Yeah, it's a metaphor for a bad hip. He should be done. He should absolutely be done. And as soon as it's confirmed The Undertaker's done, that means he needs to be going to the Hall of Fame. The Rock was done full-time a very long time ago. The Rock was done part-time a very long time ago. When's the last time he was like even like a part-timer, like on a yearly schedule?
Oh.
It's been a while.
Mid-aughts?
Yeah. He's been done for a very long time. The sooner you get inducted after your last match, the more of a first ballot you could be considered. The higher quality Hall of Famer you can be considered.
So is Edge like the ultimate first ballot?
Pretty much, yeah.
By that logic, yeah. Because he went in the year after he had to retire.
He's like zero ballot. There's like, it's just complete.
He was unanimous across the board.
He's all ballot.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, it's got to be entertaining. But the thing is, you look at all these guys. Let me ask you something. Is Daniel Bryan going to go into the WWE Hall of Fame in the next 18 months or 5 years from now? Because I feel like he's not going to go in while he's wrestling on the indie circuit, which is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he'd probably say, no, I don't want to do this.
I would imagine that if he accepted induction to the Hall of Fame, it would be him admitting that his wrestling career is over, and I don't think he wants to do that. If he has designs of wrestling in the indies, I think he will do that first, and then he will have his homecoming with WWE afterwards.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. But anyways, if you're asking who should headline, it's The Undertaker. But they never do this by who should. They do it on what is best for business for the WWE. The Rock also, you got The Rock, you got The Undertaker. Who else sort of needs, I mean, Kane's probably going to end up going in.
Yeah, he'll go
in. Is Kane a headliner? By so many definitions, he should be.
I know he should be, but he kind of feels like, you know, like in baseball, in their Hall of Fame, there's the people that were 20-time All-Stars, mm-hmm. who set records and won batting titles and home run titles multiple times.
Yeah.
The no-doubters that you just, even to see like a snapshot of their career, you're like, that guy's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And you have players who get in based on longevity because they were really good for 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They might have ever won an MVP, mm-hmm. Might have been to a handful of All-Star mm-hmm. games because they played for 20 years and played at a pretty high level for those mm-hmm. 20 years. If you play for 20 years, you average 150 hits a year, that's 3,000 hits. If you get 3,000 hits in baseball, you're a Hall of Famer.
Sure.
Kane feels like that.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Someone who's just, for 20 years, has been really good.
Yeah.
But if you take a five-year period of his career, there's nothing on in those 5 years that really jumps out at you, you know?
Okay, so who, let me ask them. I'm trying to figure this out. Undertaker, Rock, I'd say Goldberg's a headliner.
Yeah, he will be.
Who else is a headliner? Because I feel like Kane could be a headliner.
Lesnar, if he's done.
Okay, yeah, Lesnar, but he's not going to be done for a while. I feel like Kane could be a headliner. I'll put it this way. If Undertaker decides to wrestle the next two WrestleManias, okay, which is a big if, and Kane decided to call it a day tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
and The Rock didn't want to do it this year, Kane can be a headliner?
Batista.
Oh, yeah, Batista too. Batista might be in there.
Triple H too.
Yeah, but Triple H will do it. Here's the thing. Triple H will do it. Well, he'll be like, hey, who do we got this year? Because I think the next 5 years, we're going to have a lot of people going
in.
Or we're going to have plenty of people who could be headliners. Kane's a headliner on a year that there's nobody really else.
Yeah.
That's obvious. Maybe after Undertaker, maybe after Batista, after Rock, And then it'll be Kane. I'm sure there are other names out there that I'm missing. But and then on a year, it's like, oh, we got nobody. All right, I'll do it. It's going to be Triple H is going to be deciding because there's nobody else. And it's going to be, you know, it's best for business.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, Jericho, too.
Oh, Jericho. Yeah, yeah. But I wonder if Jericho thinks it because he seems to be having so much fun.
I know.
You know. All right. Moving on.
Moving on.
What a great question. Martin Garcia. Let's see what he has to say.
My question for the debate is that concerns about WrestleMania for the WWE title and the United States title. So we all want Shinsuke versus AJ at WrestleMania. But we also have this story of Kevin and Sammy being best friends. And, well, here's your debate. So my first is WWE title, Shinsuke versus AJ for the WWE title. Sammy versus Kevin for the United States title. Would you want, like, the big hype dream match? Well, not, yeah, big hype dream match and for the WWE title. And the other is, or you can have Sammy versus Kevin for the WWE title, and you have Shinsuke versus AJ for the United States title. What would you rather have? And honestly, and here's something for the Sammy and Kevin for the WWE title. I could see Kevin winning the title at Royal Rumble and, like, having a celebration with Sammy. But Sammy does what Kevin did at NXT TakeOver a couple years ago and turns on him and fights for the title. Yeah, we're going to have Roman and Brock, but we still have great matches coming. But what would you want out of all those two situations? Thank you, friendos. Have a great day.
Thank you, Martin Garcia.
Thank you, Martin. All right. So he's basically saying AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the U.S. title, or KO versus Sammy for the U.S. title.
Or you get either one of these matches for the WWE title, the other for the U.S., but you can't, well, honestly, you can't have both matches for the WWE title. So which one would we prefer?
I'll go first. It's AJ Styles versus Nakamura for the WWE title, and here's why. Because Sammy versus KO. Honestly, I would say this. I would actually say this. I would want AJ versus Nakamura for the WWE title. They feel like more of a headline act for multiple reasons. They brought Shinsuke in after his tremendous run in NXT. You know, he was a headliner in New Japan. They brought him over. He's like a huge star. Granted, he hasn't been booked terribly well. But, you know, that's on creative. That's an iconic rematch from Wrestle Kingdom that should be happening for the biggest title in the WWE that isn't Brock Lesnar's title. Sami Zayn versus KO is a storyline that has had already so many layers, layer upon layer upon layer. I actually don't want this for a title at all. I don't think it needs to. Maybe down the line in a couple of years, it can be for like the Universal title, or it can be for the WWE title. But that is a storyline at this coming WrestleMania. If they decide to go that route, and I honestly think they're still going to be tagging at this point, or they're still going to be a team at this point, because I think they're going to get a lot of mileage out of this Sammy KO sort of union. But when they do fight, that I want, it doesn't need to be for a title. I know we've seen it titleless before, but that's going to be something that has so many layers, so many depth, so much depth, so much emotion to it, that fighting over a title, you don't really need to do that. AJ versus Nakamura, those are the big boys. Those guys are the top stars. AJ's already been a former world champion, so why would he be fighting for the U.S. championship? No way. Those guys need to be fighting for the WWE title. It just fits. It just makes total sense. It's like saying CM Punk is cooler than Edge. Go ahead.
Well, I agree that we do need AJ versus Nakamura on a huge stage.
Look, did you know you two-sweeted today?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, look at that. Bang.
Ooh.
$200,000.
Well, yeah. Fork it over.
Yeah. Oh, crap. That was me.
They had a great match at Wrestle Kingdom 10.
Mm-hmm.
How many WWE fans are aware of that? Or aware of their history in New Japan? Granted, WWE can allude to it, can reference it, but they can't really go in depth. Not to the degree that may be required to get the full idea of their backstory.
Okay, let me cut you off really quick. Let me ask you something.
What?
Tomorrow on Count Out, we talk about Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
Right. And we pose the question, how many people in any given WWE arena has seen Kurt Angle versus Samoa Joe in TNA?
Yeah.
Do you think more people have seen AJ versus Nakamura?
I think less.
You think less?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, continue.
Also, I will take nothing away from Nakamura for being a stellar in-ring performer. However, we have not seen a lot of his stellar in-ring work in WWE thus far, whether that he's been hampered by the WWE style.
Yeah.
He's just getting used to acclimating what he used to do in New Japan to WWE television. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but there's been three matches I can think of. That I would call great. His match against Sammy, one of his matches against Joe, actually his match against Bobby Roode, the first one, was really good from a storytelling standpoint, and then his match against Cena on SmackDown was pretty good. Whereas we know Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn can deliver in a WWE ring. We've seen it several times in NXT on the main roster. It seems like it, once every 2 months, someone at Creative goes, all right, it's time for an Owens and Zayn match. We know they deliver. And I think it's because of that immense backstory that the culmination of at least this phase of their feud needs to happen on a huge stage like WrestleMania. And to provide, and I think Martin mentions this in his question, to provide some symmetry, it should happen for a title, preferably the world title, WWE title. Their story began in NXT over a belt. Have it end, at least this cycle, this act, over belt as well. Provides symmetry of their storyline. I think it'd be a nice cap to this particular phase of their feud. So yeah, okay. WWE title at WrestleMania. Give me KO and Sami Zayn. I can never get enough of those two guys wrestling.
Yeah, no, I'll agree with you on that one. Next up, Carlos Hackworth. Let's see what Carlos has to say.
Hey, what's going on, friendos? I'm gonna keep it quick and to the point. Do you think it's better for WWE to just fire the talent, or would it be better for them to just move them to SmackDown? SmackDown could use a few more people to build out their mid-card and move some of the other guys up to the upper mid-card. So I just want to get your thoughts. Thanks, friendos.
Thank you, Carlos.
That's heavy. Wow. Does either dump me, according to Carlos, SmackDown is just a dumping ground for the people they don't want. Wow. Confirmed here on Going In Raw.
Do I go first?
Yeah, you go first.
I go first. No, release them.
Yeah.
And here's why. SmackDown's a shorter show. There's already not enough time for everybody on SmackDown. Not that I want to see wrestlers lose their jobs, because I don't. But I also want wrestlers to have opportunities to succeed. And if you're on a show and you're not getting any time or opportunity, I would prefer to see them get opportunity elsewhere. Go the independent route, build the brand, make a name for yourself, be your own boss. I would vastly prefer that than them going to SmackDown not being used. Also, if you're just dumping talent you don't have time for on Raw or use for on Raw, it perpetuates the idea that SmackDown is the B show. I don't like that idea. Both shows should be on equal footing. So don't do that. Just let them go. Let them pursue opportunities elsewhere. In 3 to 5 years, if they've built their brand up enough, maybe they can come back.
You know what you should do? You should start like your own YouTube channel, like a Larson channel, and it's just you talking to the camera, talking about building brands.
You like when I talk about building brands?
I do, yeah.
Motivational speaker?
You probably should, yeah. It'd be great, because you're very sincere and earnest when you do it. No, man, just go to SmackDown. Here's my reasoning. Because if somebody's with the WWE, that there's a reason why. I mean, usually if you're with the WWE, you want to be with the WWE. Otherwise, you're going to ask for your release. So I would say send them to SmackDown. You still get to be in the company. You get a fresh start. You get a fresh start in the WWE on a brand new brand. We've seen the brand. We've seen brand switches completely rejuvenate careers. We saw as soon as Kevin Owens came over to the SmackDown, he was already the money over there on Raw. He became more money here on SmackDown. You saw somebody go from, and they're great.
Well, here's the thing, though. You mentioned Kevin Owens, who he was already money on Raw, came over to SmackDown with more money.
More money.
But what if it's someone like Summer Rae, who's been out for a while with injury, and then she goes to SmackDown. She doesn't have the benefit that Kevin Owens had on Raw, where he was money, because she's been gone for almost a year.
Yeah.
And then she goes on SmackDown, and she has a clean slate, but she's pretty much starting from from the bottom. She has to kind of reintroduce herself to the fans.
Hey, it's even doubly so for the women wrestlers.
I know, it's tough for the women wrestlers.
That's tough for the women wrestlers.
You pretty much have to go to Japan.
I'm guaranteeing none of the women wrestlers are going to want to be released versus going to SmackDown. They'd love to go to SmackDown. Are you kidding me? Ooh.
Okay. At least the SmackDown Women's Division does do a good job of...
every single week is another five-pack challenge.
Utilizing every member of that division.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, perfect. So for the women, SmackDown's probably preferable.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I think Carlos seemed, in his question, he seemed to be framing it along the lines of, if you're the WWE, what do? Release them or send them to SmackDown? And, I mean, I guess the answer is, well, if there's a position for them in SmackDown where we think we can really use them, send them to SmackDown. Otherwise, don't send them to SmackDown so they cannot be on TV.
And that was kind of my general point, yeah.
And your point is correct.
Yeah.
So we're both right. Next up from Bobby Mincy.
Hey there, friendos. Bobby Mincy here, or soon to be known as Kings Kingsley once I get 2K18. But irregardless, Steve, I know that you watched TNA. I don't know how far back you watched. And Larson, I know you dislike it. TNA had a idea of option C, where the X Division holder could turn in the title for a chance to wrestle the World Heavyweight Champion at that time. I wonder how well WWE could implement that. So, Steve, I want you to debate on how they could bring that in with the NXT title or even the 205 Live title and trade it in for either the Universal Title Championship or the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. And Larson, I want you to obviously debate on how that is a terrible idea. Too sweet, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you, Bobby Mincy.
Thank you, Bobby Mincy.
I love the idea of the option C. I think it's fantastic. I think it'd be great. They could totally... I like it for the NXT title simply because... it is the title that kind of most resembles the X division title where Austin Aries did that in the first place.
I know it's the curtain belt just because there's a giant X on it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I'm very simple in that manner. I'm all visual. I think because here's the thing. NXT is developmental. We saw Kevin Owens show how this could be very effective when he made his debut on the main roster as NXT champion, answering John Cena's open challenge for the United States challenge, or for the United States title, rather. We saw how this can be a very effective way of going about things. It would serve two purposes. Number one, it would immediately elevate whoever NXT's champion is to kind of a pseudo Money in the Bank type situation, because you know that this guy, okay, now that he won the title, he can show up on the main roster at any time. I'm surprised they actually don't do that more, to be honest with you. Because I thought it worked really, really well for Kevin Owens. And so it would create that amount of intrigue, having the NXT champion be able to pop up on it. It would create an added layer of, okay, well, we don't just have to wait for WrestleMania. We don't have to wait till after SummerSlam for these call-ups, for the superstar shakeups, for drafts, or whatever. There's always the possibility of the NXT champion, and, you know, even extended to the NXT tag champion. What if then you have somebody like, so you had Bobby Roode before, right, as champion, and he went in there, he said, this is my NXT, and I'm gonna transform this place into a place for corporations. So he wouldn't necessarily be the kind of guy who would then move up to the main roster and try to cash in, because he's trying to do something very specific for NXT at the time. Drew McIntyre, on the other hand, is a guy who wants a fight. He wants a challenge. So he's the type of guy who could take that NXT title, go up to main roster, and cash in on somebody. So I think it's a great idea. I think it could totally work. I think there's any number of ways that it can work. We've already seen it to a degree with Kevin Owens. I thought it was fantastic. So I know you're typing a lot right now, and I am done now.
Okay. No, Vince is never going to rip off an idea from Impact, so it's not going to happen. First and foremost,
he has like all their good wrestlers. Of course he is.
But he's not going to rip off concepts from them.
Well,
he's
already taken all their big guys.
That's different. That's talent. He's not going to take ideas, though.
It's the same concept.
No, it's not.
Okay, continue.
So he's not going to do that. He's not going to take an idea that was created in Impact and utilize it in his own promotion just because he doesn't want to admit Impact had any good ideas.
AJ Styles is a damn good idea, and he used that idea.
AJ Styles is a fantastic wrestler.
Samoa Joe was a great idea.
Samoa Joe is a fantastic wrestler.
Bobby Roode is a great idea.
Bobby Roode, as we know him, or as we loved him, was a complete creation of NXT.
Okay, continue.
Also, no, they're not going to do it because in their eyes, I think they would think it would undermine the importance of the Money in the Bank briefcase because it would fill a similar role.
Mm-hmm.
And Money in the Bank is so ingrained in WWE right now, it's arguably the fifth most important pay-per-view of the year. You know, you could make the case that it's third or fourth most important because it has the possibility, that briefcase, that completely changed the landscape of the company, as we saw when Seth Rollins cashed in. And I don't see them wanting to change that dynamic at all. Also, you mentioned Kevin Owens, how he showed up on Maine.
It's great.
It was great. He didn't need that belt to cash in on something to make that impact. NXT superstars should just be able to do that regardless if their belt means anything beyond being the champion of that promotion. If they just want to show up and make an impact, do it.
What are they going to cash in, though?
They don't need to cash in anything.
They need some collateral. That's the whole idea of option C.
I understand that. I'm saying they don't, but I'm saying your point about them needing collateral, they don't need collateral. Kevin Owens didn't have collateral. He just wanted to make an impact.
I didn't say they needed collateral. I just think that, like, if they said that just was your collateral.
They needed collateral.
No, well, I said that in response to you. No, mine is a great idea.
No, and also I worry that if the NXT title is just viewed as a title that can be used to cash in on something else, it can lessen the importance of NXT as a brand because people get that title, cash in, and get out of there immediately and not worry about building NXT as its own brand. It cheapens the brand.
Hold on a second, though. Let's keep it real, though.
You're cheapening the entire brand for an occasional cool moment.
I don't think you...
And imagine if an NXT champion cashed it in against somebody and lost, he's going to look like a chump. The brand's going to look like a chump.
Yes, but do you see there's all sorts of possibilities here? You know it's a cool idea.
I'm not that into it. I keep my...
Really?
No.
Really? For reals?
Not for the NXT title, no.
Oh, I love it. I think it's great. Because what if there's somebody like Kevin Owens who's just like super ambitious, does not care about anything except for his own ascent? That's an interesting character.
Then instead of have him attack John Cena, have him attack the world champion.
Yeah, but he has the NXT title.
No, I don't like it.
Oh,
don't
like it. It's amazing. It's fantastic.
Don't like it.
Michael Berry has a question.
Oh, he has a conundrum in front of him.
Ooh, uh-oh.
Let's see what he has to say.
Yeah.
What's going on, friendos? So for the debate, I have a real-life question that I need answered. I'm based in San Antonio, and on the 17th of November, both NXT and Ring of Honor are having house shows here in San Antonio. The NXT show is going to have the NXT Championship match with HBK, a special guest referee, but the Ring of Honor show has Kenny Omega committed to sign up. So, which show should I buy tickets to and go to?
Ooh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one.
I don't think it's that tough at all.
Oh, man.
I'm going to go first.
What do you say?
Go to Ring of Honor.
Wrong.
How many times do you get to see Kenny Omega wrestle here in the States? Not very many.
I've seen him twice.
Two consecutive days.
No, I saw him at PWG, Full Sail.
Oh, that's right. So, we've seen him three times.
Yeah.
That was in L.A. He's not in L.A. This is in San Antonio. How many times, even with that, like if you say to yourself, I want to go see Finn Balor wrestle. If you're willing to travel, you can see him, you know, 5 days a week.
Yeah, if you're willing to travel, you can see Kenny Omega.
Yeah, you have to go to Japan, though. My point is, Kenny Omega doesn't wrestle in the States as often as anybody in NXT. I understand Shawn Michaels is a guest referee. He's from the San Antonio area. A lot of times when WWE is in Texas, HBK will make an appearance. It's not that rare. You have other opportunities to see Shawn Michaels on a more consistent basis as opposed to seeing Kenny Omega wrestle live. That's generally my point.
I'm writing this down. That is blatantly false. How often do you get to see Shawn Michaels live? Never, ever.
He shows up two or three times a year.
Oh, my, as HBKFC maybe?
No,
you're insane. There are far more opportunities to see Kenny Omega. He's all over Ring of Honor these days. He was on the Global Wars thing.
Here's a huge question.
They always have the cheesiest names.
Here's the huge thing. Also, how often does Ring of Honor come to Texas? I don't know. They never come to California.
Yeah, that's true.
I think they come to Vegas a couple times a year for pay-per-views. Yeah. But I don't know how often they go to Texas. So if Ring of Honor goes to Texas once a year, and this is the one time you get to see Kenny Omega, you go see Kenny Omega.
Listen.
NXT tours regularly. Don't come back to San Antonio within the next calendar year.
Michael, go to NXT.
No.
Go to NXT.
Here's another reason not to go to NXT, because that championship match can have a dusty finish. Undisputed Era is going to come and interfere. No one's going to win, or Drew's going to win by DQ. It's going to be cool seeing HBK.
Yes.
The novelty is cool, but he's not going to wrestle. He's not probably not even going to super kick anybody. He's going to be a ref. Give me Kenny Omega in action.
Oh, he's going to super kick somebody. You know that's a fact. He is not stepping foot in the ring unless he's HBKFC. He's not stepping foot in that ring if he's not going to get the super kick somebody.
It's more likely Adam Cole super kicks him.
No, HBK is going to super kick the living crap out of Adam Cole, baby, when he tries to interfere. Michael Berry, you have to go to NXT. It's going to be fantastic.
Oh, it'll be good.
It's going to be so much fun. Trust me. Here's my main point about Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega absolutely will be the focal point of New Japan's expansion into the United States, which is going to primarily happen on the West Coast. So, yes, you're going to have to travel from San Antonio or from Texas to the West Coast to go see Kenny Omega. He will be here plenty. They'll probably have some shows on the East Coast, but they'll probably just stick to the West Coast. He will be around plenty. The Young Bucks literally tour all over the place.
Well, we can go see Kenny Omega in 3 weeks' time.
No, man, I'm telling you. And because you'll never get to see Adam Cole get super kicked.
He's going to super
by
kick.
Shawn
he's
Michaels.
He's going to super kick Shawn Michaels.
Oh, you know how those, because this is a house show, right?
Yeah.
That's a house show. You know how those work. Come on, man.
He's
going
to super kick.
He's going to super kick. He's going to whiff.
Super kick.
He's going to whiff.
No.
And then he's going to get nailed.
How about this?
How much do you want to bet?
How about this? I like this idea. They super kick each other at the same time.
And then the universe implodes.
Yes.
No, I like it. Dude, you got to go to NXT.
You got to see Kenny Omega.
You got to go to NXT.
You got to go see Kenny Omega.
Next up, Patrick Sparks.
So, a lot of people throughout the history of wrestling have had long hair. Two of those people that come to mind for me are Triple H and The Undertaker, both of which no longer have that long hair. So, I want you to debate which haircut was more shocking. Larson, you got The Undertaker. Steve, you got Triple H. Have fun.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you.
This is maybe my favorite question we've ever got.
You get to go first.
You get the easy way. It's Triple H. It's not. It's Undertaker.
It is Undertaker.
Tell him why.
Because they had a musical stinger when he, at WrestleMania 28, he took his hood off.
Yes.
And there was like a.
Yes.
And he had no hair. And no one knew it was happening.
Yeah.
And it was shocking because
There was a literal gasp.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And it was like, had like a point.
Yeah.
It was weird.
It was Undertaker. It's Undertaker.
When Triple H did it, it was just like, oh.
He just showed up one day with no hair. There wasn't any to do about it.
It was like, you sellout. That's what it was. It was like, oh, look at him in his fancy suit. What a sellout.
Yeah. And I think Undertaker, his haircut is all the more shocking because he immediately went back to having long hair.
Yeah, it was weird.
That was like the only time we saw him with short hair.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's Undertaker. That's the right
answer. Undertaker. There's no debate there. It's great. Our final question comes to us from Daryl Takahashi, the cat. Let's see what he has to say.
What's good, Stephen Larson? Many friendos out there. It's the cat, Daryl Takahashi. My question for Mad Chat this week is, besides CM Punk's infamous pipe bomb promo, what would you say is CM Punk's best WWE promo? Thanks, boys.
Thank you, Daryl Takahashi.
Oh, crap. I forgot to research this. Why don't you go ahead and tell...
I'll go.
You know what? No, when you said this, I realized I cannot have a better answer. What is the best non-pipe bomb shoot from CM Punk ever?
His entire appearance on the Colt Cabana podcast.
That's correct. That is absolutely
4
correct.
Hours of him ripping the WWE.
Yep.
It was entertaining.
Yeah.
It was informative. It was shocking.
It was so shocking it landed him and Colt Cabana into deep, deep legal waters.
They were embroiled in a lawsuit with Chris Amon, I believe is his name. CM Punk is insists that it's... he's being bankrolled by the WWE. Nonetheless, Punk went into great detail about his last days in WWE, the reasons for his departure, a lot of dirt on Triple H, on Vince, on the workings of the business, how he had to, at times, like go to Vince and say, hey, this payout's not enough. Give me more money. I think I need more money. I mean, he was the champion at the time. I think he's some of these stories he was relating. And yet, he didn't think he was getting the payout he deserved. It's great. It's fascinating, shocking, informative. It's everything. It's a captivating 4 hours of podcasting. It's probably the best work he's ever done.
Yeah. No, I'll agree.
It's definitely the best work he's done post-WWE career.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's I'll definitely agree with that. Thank you, everybody, for your questions and your support on the Patreon. Again, if you want to participate in the show, have your video question read on
the air. You're not even going to try to come up with something like his promo when he broke up with Paul Heyman? That was good.
I don't know, I barely remember
that.
I'd have to go back and look on YouTube, be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'd need a refresher. Yeah, sorry. That answer is perfect. That's good because it's funny and true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'll go back and watch some CM Punk.
Yeah, show. Reminisce.
Yeah, yeah, reminisce.
Have
I loved CM Punk so much.
I gathered that last week.
He was so good.
Oh, he was pretty good.
He's the coolest. I don't know where you get from.
He's cool.
I saw him again. I want to sleeve up, man. I want to get a sleeve tattoo.
Yeah, do that. So next year you could be CM Punk for Halloween.
There you go.
But that's, you need to get a Pepsi tattoo and Cobra Commander.
No.
It's package deal.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
You're not the boss of me. She's the boss of me.
What do you say, Sasha? Yeah.
See, no.
No, she said so Pepsi. No.
Anyways,
especially that's it the Pepsi logo.
That's it for Matt Chat. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, I'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Let me get some chairs for this.